Good morning. So today we're in our second session of this season's 15 for Faith. And last week, if you remember, we talked about worship, the difference between worship, prayer, and supplication. And we made it through to the content of worship that the worship services are made up of: scripture, which is obviously written by the prophets, the apostles, the prophet David, the Psalms, and prayers, which were written by the Holy Fathers, St. John Chrysostom, St. Basil, St. Gregory the Theologian, St. Gregory of Nyssa, and other fathers, and the hymns and the poetry that we sing and recite. And that's where we're at now, and that's what I'm going to talk about today. So the poets of our church are many. There's actually some poetry that we can distinguish in the Bible, but I talked about the Bible already. But when we look at the Gospel of Luke, for example, and the Virgin Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord," even when she meets with Elizabeth, you know, and she does the Magnificat, okay? Well, if you even look at the publications of the Bible, they kind of set those verses, you know, a little bit apart, and it looks like it's actually a poem or a quote or something like that, okay? So even, you know, whether she actually recited it as a poem or it's recorded as such by Luke and the other writers, we can distinguish certain poetry like the Magnificat, or like when the prophet Zechariah, you know, when his voice was finally, you know, his released when John was born, and he recites this, "Blessed is the Lord God our Savior." It's kind of like a poem, okay? So we can distinguish poems in the Bible, but we talked about the Bible already. Now I'm going to talk about poetry that was written after the resurrection and within the church and for the church. Probably the oldest hymn that we use today is the "O Gladsome Light" that we sing at Vespers, probably written in the 2nd or 3rd century, before, you know, the so-called Byzantine Empire. One of the earliest poets, however, and hymnographers would be Saint Ephrem the Syrian. Now, he wrote actually in Syrian or Aramaic or whatever, not in Greek. Some of his things have been translated into Greek, but we don't actually sing. I don't think we actually anymore sing any of his things, but the one thing that has remained is the prayer of Saint Ephrem the Syrian that we say during Lent, "O Lord and Master of my life," etc. Another great but very early poet would have been Saint Romanos the Melodist. Okay, Romanos, and he was in probably the 5th or 6th century. And he wrote the Kondakion. And the Kondakion is a poem and sermon together. And probably the only Kondakion that we use in its entirety anymore is the so-called Akathist hymn that we do on the Fridays during Lent, you know, "Here nymphia nymphifte, rejoice, O unwedded bride," and all those verses, the priests come out and they recite that. St. Romanos wrote, you know, 1,000 of them. I mean, he wrote, you know, that was like, became the content of the matins of the Orthros service, was the Kondakion for many years. What's left now is just one little, a remnant of that, because the service has evolved, and we just sing just one little part of it called the Kondakion, you know. And that's like, "O Champion General," or, you know, the Kondakia that we sing throughout at the liturgy. As the service has evolved, new kinds of poetry were developed for the church, and the so-called canon replaced the Kondakion. And the canon is, if you've ever been to a paraklesi service and you sing your "Most Holy Theotokos, save us," okay, that's a sample of a canon. We also sing canons during Holy Week. I mean, we sing canons all the time, but when you would be exposed to them would be, you know, at paraklesis, maybe during Holy Week, and at the Akathist, where we precede the Akathist with a canon. But anyway, the great poets of the canons and other important hymnography that we still use today, the great would be Saint John of Damascus. And he lived in the 8th century under actually Islamic rule. He was actually a civil servant of the, what do they call them? The Sultan or whatever in Damascus. story has it about St. John that as a young man, he and his stepbrother, also a St. Cosmas and also a poet and hymnographer, decided very young to go to the monastery of St. Savas in Palestine. And before that, he was quite educated in all the fields that at that time you could be educated, he and his brother, among which were music and poetry. And anyway, he had a job as a civil servant for the Sultan, and it was during the time of iconoclasm, so, you know, you have in the Roman Byzantine Empire, you know, you have these heretical sort of emperors now, you know, and then you have the Arab Muslim world, which is not in the Roman Empire, you know, and you have the Sultan in Syria, in Damascus. So John was from there and smart. He was hired by the Sultan. He's working for the Sultan. And anyway, he was slandered. Someone told a lie to the Sultan that he was writing and spying on them for the Romans, for the Byzantines. And they even forged a letter signed by John saying that, you know, come, you can take over now because, you know, the forces are weak here in Syria and blah, blah, blah. So he was brought before, you know, the Sultan, and the Sultan said, look, here's the letter. It's got your signature on it. You know, you're guilty. So they cut off his hand. And legend has it that he asked for his hand so that he could bury it or do whatever. And he went and he prayed in front of this big icon of the Theotokos of the Mother of God that he said, you know, heal me, do something, you know, and I'll serve you forever, you know. And apparently he fell asleep, he woke up and his hand was connected and there was a mark, you know, and that icon actually is on Mount Athos today and it's called the Trigerousta, the three-handed Theotokos, because he then had a metal, silver or gold, whatever, hand, you know, like a dedication added to that icon, you know, as a kind of a remembrance. So over the years, it finally made its way to Mount Athos. But anyway, then he went back and showed the Sultan, and the Sultan said, oh, forgive me, you know, I made a mistake. And John said, well, I can't work for you anymore because I promised to go serve, you know, God in the Theotokos, and he was given permission to go to the monastery of St. Savas. At the monastery of St. Savas, the abbot told him, look, you can be a monk, but you can't, you know, as a novice, I don't want you doing any compositions or any of the things that you've been doing before. You know, you can be smart, but keep it to yourself. One of the brothers had just suffered a death in his family and was inconsolable, and he asked John, oh, could you, you know, John wrote him a little hymn and sang it to him, you know, and actually we sing it today at the funeral services. And, but the abbot heard him singing, and he said, you know, I told you not to sing. So your penance is you're going to clean the bathrooms. And bathrooms were not like, you know, more like outhouses, like camp when we were kids. So he was doing that out of obedience. And then St. John the Baptist appeared to the abbot and said, what are you doing? You have this man who's going to, you know, he's going to educate the world with his writings eventually. You know, don't you know this is a chosen one from God? You know, shame on you. You know, let him free. Let him free to write and whatever. So anyway, long story short, he gets permit. You know, the abbot says, okay, I don't know who you are, but you get to do, you know, this work of God. And he did. So in the course of his life, so he was free now. So he wrote the hymns that we sing on Sunday, little samples that we'll get to eventually. He filled the Orthodox service. He and his brother filled the feast days with hymns and canons and stuff like that. So, I mean, and then, so St. John of Damascus and his stepbrother, St. Cosmas, big time hymnographers and poets. Good to look them up and read about them. St. Theodore the Studite lived in Constantinople in the 9th century, in the 800s. And he and his brother, Joseph, the Bishop of Thessaloniki, wrote many hymns which today are found in the Triodion, which is the book that we use during Lent and Holy Week. If you open that book and you can read Greek, you can read the titles of the hymns. This is from, you know, this one's by Theodore, this dude, you know, and this one's by Joseph, you know, if there's someone, you know, all of them. Almost all the stuff in there is by those two. So we can thank them for the Lenten hymnography. There was another Joseph, St. Joseph the hymnographer, and he wrote he wrote a lot of hymns for the saints. So, especially in Orthros, when we sing the canons for the saints, Joseph, and even at the end of each hymn, the last eight hymns, he would spell out his name. Maybe the last seven letters, whatever it takes to spell Joseph, he would start the last hymns with those names. It's called an acrostic. So at the edge, you know, you see I-O. That's the way, you know, they sign icons, you know, by the hand of, and the hymnographers, they sign their name by including it somewhere hidden in the hymns. Like the first letter of the last hymns, you know, they'll stick their name in there. St. Andrew of Crete wrote a lot of hymns, but one of the most famous that we know is that canon that we sing during Lent, or read during Lent, which is the Great Canon, which has like hundreds of hymns, and we read it here on the Wednesday of the fifth week of Lent. So those were all men, saints, mostly monastics, ascetics, but there's also a nun. Cassiani was a nun in the 9th century, and she has a whole other story, which we don't have time to tell now, but she wrote, among other things, she wrote several hymns, but the one that's most famous is the one that's sung on Holy Tuesday evening, which people think it's about Cassiani, but actually it's by Cassiani, and it talks about the Lord and the sinful woman who came and anointed the feet of the Lord and asked for forgiveness. There were actually emperors of the Byzantine Roman Empire that wrote poetry and hymnology, and it has stayed in the church. So the Emperor Justinian, who lived in the 6th century, great theologian and proponent of orthodoxy, and he wrote the Only Begotten that we sing every liturgy, Only Begotten Son and Word of God, who art in okay, Omonogenes. He wrote it in iambic verse, so if you actually sing it, okay? And it's basically a repetition or rewording of the creed. You'll look at there and you'll see, you know, some phrases from the creed he stuck in the hymn so that it would be easy to sing and easy to remember. And so that was Emperor Justinian. And there were two other emperors, Leo the VI and Constantine the VII, a father and a son. And they were wise and educated and pious. And they wrote hymns that we sing during the Orthros service. And when we do our teaching matins in a couple weeks, I'll talk about them. St. Nicodemus of the Holy Mountain, who lived in the 18th and the 19th centuries, and he wrote new services for the new saints at that time, because at that time, during those centuries, when, you know, the Ottoman Empire encompassed much of the Balkans, there were many Christian, what we call neo-martyrs, Christians who refused to, you know, when they were forced or tried to be forced to become Muslims, or they had become Muslim and then repented, and then they were killed, you know, by the government at that time. So we had a lot of new martyrs and new saints, and so St. Nicodemus wrote some of those new services for them. In modern times, Father Hierosimos of the small skete of St. Anne's on Mount Athos, who died in the 90s, and I actually met him several times while I was on Mount Athos and saw him. He, in his career, in his lifetime, probably wrote more services than existed already. And he wrote all the new services for the new saints in the 20th century. For example, the hymns to St. Nectarios. He had actually met, he said once to me, he said he had met St. Nectarios when Father Gerasimos was just like a student. And they didn't know what they were. They didn't know who they were meeting. They didn't realize, you know, they were in contact with a holy man. But anyway, so then, you know, decades later, after the saint was, you know, recognized, he was the one to write the service for St. Nectarios. So when we sing hymns to St. Nectarios, those were actually written by this Father Hierosimos. Currently living is a Father Athanasios of Simonopetra Monastery, who I've also met. And there's even a layman, a dentist in Greece, Dr. Haralambos Bousias, and he's written services for some extra hymns or even some modern saints. So that is as much time as I have today. In another time, we'll talk about liturgical time, the times of worship, and our parish practice. Next week, I will not be here. I will be out of town. The following week, we will be doing the so-called teaching matins, which will begin at 8:15 when we normally start. And instead of having 15 for faith at this time, those 15 minutes will be, you know, stretched out during the matin service to highlight and point out certain things. If you come early for that one, I know it's early, but really it's not as early as we get up for work. So, you know, let's do it for God, for your soul. And let us now get on with the service.